Them snakes are sneaky. They are masters of camouflage technology. An 800-pound anaconda can slither silently through the trees because it's so stealth. When we get into the fiery presence of God, we will start to actually be able to see these demonic serpents.
We're talking about serpent spirits, and there's a lot of times that people just don't understand what we're talking about whenever we're talking about serpent spirits and the need for deliverance. It sounds a little bit weird. Let's just put it that way. It sounds a little bit weird, a little bit crazy, but we need to put verbiage to things and explain things in certain ways so that people understand that. So I am super excited about this conversation, Katie. So it's great to have you here on Charisma.
Thanks. Thanks, John. Thanks so much. I'm glad you are braving the waters, to speak, because it's true. These things are real, and the church is ill-equipped to come against this level of warfare in this hour, which is absolutely swarming every believer. So it's necessary that we understand these things. Jesus talked about it. In Luke 10, he said that we've been given authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise harm us. Now, when he's speaking that, he's not talking about just snakes in the natural, because in context, right before that, the disciples came back from a missionary trip saying, even the demons submitted to us in your name. And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from the sky. I've given you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. Now, so in context, he's talking about demonic spirits. Now, if you think about it, if he's telling these guys, hey, I've given you authority to trample on these snakes, right after they said, even the demons submitted to us in your name, that means that many of the demonic entities that the disciples took on during their missionary journey were demons that came in the form of serpents and scorpions. So these are real. They're very hard to see. And that's why many Christians miss them. But we need to know about them, because Jesus told us in the Great Commission in Mark 16 that we're going to, preach the gospel, baptize the nations. We're going to heal the sick, drive out demons, raise the dead, and take up serpents. That's called the Great Commission for a reason, because it's great in its scope. It is for every single believer, not just for a snake hunter like myself. Okay. And that word take up there is the Greek word iro. It means to remove anything that's attached to anything. So once people begin to understand the activity of these demonic serpents, they'll see that they are attached to anything. They are attached to people's bank accounts, their money, their family, their marriage. They're breaking up marriages. They're causing your body to be sick. They're causing your business to split apart. They're causing strife and division in the church. I have scriptures for all these things. I'm not just saying a list right now. I have backup scriptures that we don't have time to, expound on right now for every claim that I'm making. And many people do not see these serpents because Genesis 3 says that they're the most craftiest beast of the field. Them snakes are sneaky. They are masters of camouflage technology, which means that even in the natural, when you see a snake, and it's very hard to see them, their scales blend in with their surroundings. Desert snakes like rattlers, you won't even see them. You'll hear them because their scales match the rocks and the sand in every part of the desert scheme. You go into the jungle, an 800-pound anaconda can slither silently through the trees because it's so stealth. It has so much camouflage technology. Its scales blend into the jungle foliage. You won't know it's even there until it's already dropped around its prey and squeezed it to death, and is squeezing it to death. See, these snakes are very, very camouflage able. And so then they hide themselves on people's bodies in their lives without us being able to see them. That's why we have to stay in the fiery presence of God. When Paul, accidentally picked up a serpent on the island of Malta while picking up a bundle of sticks because it was cold night, they were shipwrecked, he was building a fire, he didn't know he had a deadly viper inside that bundle because the serpent looked just like one of the sticks.
Yeah.
But when he threw it on the fire, the heat of the fire drove it out of hiding. When we get into the fiery presence of God through fasting, through tongues, through prayer, through fiery worship, we will start to actually be able to see these demonic serpents.
Yeah. So we need to have eyes that see these things, because it's easy to go through life and just not be paying attention. But the forces of darkness that are out there are real. They're not just imaginary. It's not just a Disney evil cloud that comes over. There is so much real to this that it's actually more real than our physical reality. So we as believers need to be able to stand against that. And I love how you talk about fire and how important it is, because the fire is what really kind of separates us from that. Can you explain about fire and the hedge of protection?
Okay, well, fire. Okay, so think about it. Moses grew up in Pharaoh's household. We all know that. In Exodus 4, in the Amplified Classic, it says that when Moses was up on the mountain with God and the fiery bush was up there, that the serpent, that the rod became a serpent. Mm-hmm. And in the Amplified Classic, it says that when it became a serpent, it was a symbol of the serpent that was on the crown of Pharaoh that symbolized the power of Pharaoh. That's actually in the Bible. Okay, so what does all this mean? Moses grew up in Pharaoh's household. As a young prince of Egypt, he was required to have the education of Egypt. The Egyptians understood something very important. The more educated their civilians, their people of the nation, the stronger the nation would be. So part of the education system that was very important to the Egyptians was for all Egyptians to learn about the pantheon of gods that Egypt worshipped. Now, as a prince of Egypt, he was in Pharaoh's household. He had to learn about the power god that was over the palace. The Wadjet, the serpent, was on the crown of Pharaoh. So that was the reigning god in Pharaoh's household. So Moses is taught, as he was growing up, to worship the snake, to bring offerings to the serpent, to learn how to serve the serpent. So then when he leaves that household, when you are exposed to that level of occultic activity, that stays with you until it gets exposed and healed. Now, look, people say, oh, well, how do you? Well, it says in the Bible that serpent in Exodus 4, go read in the Amplified Classic, is the reigning power in Pharaoh's household. And look at Pharaoh's magicians. Their rods turned into snakes because that was the reigning god of the household. So their magic was surrounded by serpents. So here is Moses. He's in the desert and he sees a bush that's on fire but does not burn. And he says, I'm going to go see this thing. I'm going to go see this thing. I'm going to turn aside and look at it. He goes up, and while he's standing in front of the fiery bush that does not burn, God begins to commission Moses to go, you're going to go into Egypt. You're going to free my people from the rule of Pharaoh, the snake king, and you're going to go to a land that I promised you and take possession of it. So as he's doing this, and I'll even go to the chapter because it's so powerful. Moses says in verse 1 of Exodus 4, look, when I go to my people, they will not believe me or listen to me. They will not believe that I met with you, that you've appeared to me. And the second verse, the Lord doesn't even address his question. He says to him, what is that in your hand? And Moses answers, the rod. Do we actually believe that God doesn't know what's in Moses' hand? The rod. You know, no. What the reason why God is asking that is because he wants to know if Moses knows what he's been carrying around for his entire life since Egypt. A snake who is a master of camouflage has been disguising itself as a rod. That's why he asked himself, that's why God asked Moses, what's in your hand? He says, a rod. No, it's not really a rod. Then on the next verse, verse 3, he says, now cast it on the ground. So when Moses cast that rod on the ground in front of the fiery bush, it says it became what it really was, a serpent, the symbol of royal and divine power worn on the crown of Pharaoh's, and Moses fled from it. See, in the fiery presence of God, the fire will drive the snake out of hiding. See, Paul, let's go back to Paul for a second. He's carrying around a bundle of sticks. He doesn't know he's got that serpent in it. He throws it on the fire. The fire drives it out of hiding. It bites him, but he shakes it off. He's left unharmed. That's how powerful the fire of God is. Now, here's the interesting part. When you look up that story, says that he's carrying a bundle of sticks. The word bundle there means a multitude of men. Go look it up. It means a multitude of men, meaning the multitude of men are carrying around serpents and they don't know it. And here's Moses. He's been carrying around a serpent disguised, camouflage technology, as a staff his whole life. And here's God trying to commissioning him to go and free the Israelites from captivity in Egypt. And what happens? You've got to get desnakeified. You've got to get rid of these serpents you're carrying around before you can carry out the commissioning of God. Moses would not be able to free the Israelites from captivity in Egypt if against the snake king. He would not be able to win the war against the snake king if he had a serpent on himself. Because Jesus said in John 14, 30, the prince of this world is coming, but he's nothing in me. That's in common with him. So he has no power over me. So Moses couldn't have anything in him that was in common with the Pharaoh, the snake king. That way, Pharaoh wouldn't have any power over Moses. God had to meet Moses on that mountain with a fiery bush. He doesn't just pick, you know, signs out of a hat. Like, today I'll do a rainbow. Tomorrow I'll do snow and hail. Tomorrow I'll do the Red Sea parting. No, he picks specific signs and wonders at specific times for specific reasons. He picked the fiery bush that did not burn up on the mountain to meet Moses there so that the fiery bush would drive that snake out of hiding that Moses had been carrying around his whole life so that Moses could then pick up the rod. Because afterwards, God said, now pick it up by the tail. That's nuts. You don't pick up a snake by the tail. It'll swing around and bite you. But God wanted to show him, you didn't have dominion over it before. That's why you fled from it. That's what the Bible said. Fled from it when it turned into a snake, when it turned into what it really was. But now that you're getting healed and delivered in the presence of my fire, pick it up by the tail. And what did it do? It turned back into the rod. But this time, it was the real rod of power. The real rod of power that would call down plagues upon Egypt and the snake king, that would part the Red Sea, that would strike the rock and water would come out in the middle of the desert. He then carried the real rod of power. We've got to get rid of these snakes that we're carrying so that we're carrying the real rod of power of God so that we can truly deliver people from the world.
Yeah. So getting rid of these snakes that we're carrying, Katie, I got to ask, how did God get rid of the snakes in your life? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Revelation. God just said, you know, he always does the same thing with me. I get in the presence for elongated periods of time. And then he starts giving me scripture. And then he'll give me one scripture and he'll link it to a next scripture. Then he'll link it to the next scripture. Then he'll link it to the next scripture until he builds this very solid, harmonious doctrine throughout the text to show me this is not just this little word here. This is actually a revelatory insight, a teaching that can get people freed. So that process, whenever it happens like that for me, that's how all my teachings have been birthed, is that it comes to me and I walk it out myself and get free myself. And then I can go and then administrate that freedom with the truth of the word to other people.
Yeah. So it's like some personal stories of how God has brought you through some of those things that you now see that there was a snake or that was a python spirit or something like that. Could you just kind of get a little personal? I know you've got a great testimony, so I want to pull a little bit of that out of here before we go into more teaching.
Yeah. I can remember waking up shortly after I first started getting this revelation, and I had a indentation in my breast about the depth of the tip of my pinky finger, which is pretty deep. It's like that deep. And so I was like, what is this, God? And he said, I want you to soak in fire and I'll show you. I was on tour at the time. I spent the night, you know, up singing a fire song and then falling asleep and then getting up and singing the fire song, falling asleep and just pressing with fire all night long. Finally, I had a vision. I had a vision of a serpent up on its tail with this triangular jaw, which means that they're venomous, striking at me. And I said, what is that, Lord? And he goes, that's the snake that's trying to give you breast cancer. So I did what Jesus said to do, take up serpents. I prophetically did an act where I pulled that snake off of that area of my body and cast it into the abyss, the fiery abyss. And then the Lord says, now take communion for the next 3 days, a lot, and command the venom to come out of your body. So I did. and I commanded Venom to come out, and I was taking the communion. And I'm taking the communion because, see, people don't understand when you're taking communion. Hmm. Okay. The very first prophecy about Christ is the seed of the woman will crush the head of the seed of the serpent. Right. The seed of the woman, Jesus Christ, will curse the head of the seed of the serpent. That's in Genesis 3, where the serpent has now shipwrecked all of mankind. And when we take communion, we're doing it in remembrance of Christ's work on the cross. That's where the crushing took place. So I was taking the communion. I was commanding the venom to come out. And for 3 days, I was balled up in my bed in agonizing pain because that part, that area of my body was just in agonizing pain. And I thought for a second, I just made it mad. I didn't get rid of it. I just made it mad. But that's not what it was. On the third day when I got up, I went to the bathroom to take a shower, and that indentation had fully grown in. It had filled in. The pain I was feeling was the regeneration of the breast tissue being healed and regenerated from that cancer, the venom that the enemy was pumping into my breast. So that's just one example. And wow. I see many people like, I just came back from a meeting and there was a girl there. She had a full spinal fusion. Every disc fused to the other disc by metal and metal rods in her back. She could only turn this much. And if she turned any more, she was in excruciating pain. And the doctor said, if you try to force it and turn more, you're going to snap the bars and you're going to have surgery to fix it. And so they brought her over to me. I prayed for her and she had snakes up and down her spine. And I just pulled them all off. Take up serpents. That's what Jesus said. And very quickly, she was turning all the way around to where I can't even turn as far as her. We call her Elastigirl now. She was turning all the way around both ways, leaning all the way back, totally healed. This is, and I see that happen all the time. I have people check people's spines before I pray for them. And they check, okay, it's crooked. It goes like this. And then it indents like this. And then I pray for them. I pull the snake up their back and the spine literally snaps into place straight as an arrow. Bam. There's the spine perfectly aligned with the right curve in it where it's supposed to be, straight on the front view, everything. This is real. And I have seen massive, massive, massive miracles of every kind from this revelation.